You harmonize quite well. I could hear all four parts. Did you hear them? They sounded good. You're good. This summer of Psalms series is just about over. We have the one today, Psalm 22. Next week, we'll be focusing on Psalm 103, which begins, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." And then on the 24th of August, we will conclude the series with Psalm 148, which is almost at the very end of the book of Psalms. There are 150 Psalms in our Bible. So we're right at the end, and it's just an eruption of praise at the very end, which we'll conclude with on August 24th. But today, we're focusing on Psalm 22, whose opening words were quoted by Jesus on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me?" And I imagine that at the end of that awful day of crucifixion, some Roman statistician reported the number of crucifixions accomplished to the newspapers in Rome. And the people received the news the way we receive the number of deaths that we hear on CNN every evening. We hear that number casually. We even call them casualties. These numbers tell the scope of the tragedy, but they do not tell the depth of the tragedy. The depth comes in the emotional trauma of the loved ones whose desperate cries echo the opening of Psalm 22. My God, why?" If you have ever been there asking that question, or if perhaps you're asking that question this morning, this psalm is for you. If we had a choir this summer, I would have asked Steve to have them sing the section of Handel's Messiah that has a tenor singing, "All they that see him laugh him to scorn, they shoot out their lips and shake their heads." And then the chorus, representing the unruly crowd having their obscene fun at a public crucifixion, taunt Jesus on the cross. They sing, "He trusted in God that he would deliver him." And every time the choir reaches that word, "deliver," the second syllable goes up an interval and the last syllable goes down an interval, so that when they sing, "deliver him," it sounds like a punch in the belly. This is not our favorite part of Handel's Messiah. If we were to poll this congregation, or I suppose any congregation, the favorite would likely be the Hallelujah Chorus. For some people, coming to worship feels like being surrounded by others who seem to be singing the Hallelujah Chorus, when in reality, you deep down are singing, "He trusted in God that he would deliver him," and you don't feel very much delivered. Let it be said clearly that if nothing else, the church must be honest. There are times when we feel more like Psalm 22 than we feel like Psalm 23. And this section of Handel's Messiah draws its inspiration from Psalm 22. "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Then for 21 verses in this psalm, we get a lament from someone who is really feeling abandoned by God. Now, if you assume that the Bible is full of sweet and pious statements, then read this psalm. And say hello to reality. Hello, this writer is virtually castigating God for being AWOL. In you our ancestors trusted, to you they cried, shouts this psalmist, and they were delivered. You did it for them back in the good old days, why don't you do it for me? The 21 verses of this psalm are a virtual dressing down of God. It is an articulation of God's absence. Now, is that any way to speak to God? According to the Bible, yes, it is. The writer of Psalm 22 is articulating the absence of God, and this psalm has been recited and sung in temple and in synagogue and in church from that time on, and it has been read with meaning in the private homes of people for centuries. It has struck me this week as I've restudied this psalm that even the compilers of the Psalter, you have to remember, there were hundreds and hundreds of psalms to choose from. Someone compiled our book of Psalms. Someone had to make the decision about what psalm would follow the next one. If you'll notice, the psalm immediately preceding Psalm 22 is a triumphant celebration of a king's victory. Then the psalm immediately following is, of course, Psalm 23, which begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It's that greatly loved and incomparable psalm assuring us of God's presence and care. And there, as if surrounded by people singing the Hallelujah chorus, is this lone survivor crying out, my God, why? If that situation resonates with you this morning, if you feel like the singer of this psalm surrounded by those who seem to be singing the Hallelujah chorus, then I have some things to say to you this morning. And the first and foremost is that you are not alone. In this place, on this day, at this hour, you are welcome to articulate your sense of desolation from God. And if you can't find the words to articulate it, try these words on for size. They just may fit. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in my breast. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You, meaning God, you lay me in the dust. Now, whoever the original writer of this psalm was, he was doubtless not the first to utter such feelings. They have been either articulate or inarticulate upon the lips of countless millions of perplexed and suffering people as the years have come and gone. Who among us has gotten very far in life without having this fearful cry wrung from our lips? This is a question which has literally sobbed its way through the centuries. It is as old as humanity. It is as new as the pain of any broken heart. My God, why? So you're not alone. But the other thing I want to say to you this morning is just as crucial. Namely this, God is not angry at you for your questions, for your perplexities, for your doubts, for your frustrations toward God. How do we know? Because it is clear that when Jesus quoted these very words from Psalm 22, while he was on the cross, God was not angry at Jesus. The sense of forsakenness on the part of Jesus was not due to any anger of God toward Jesus. The cross is not a symbol of God's anger. It is a symbol of just how far God's love is willing to go. The perplexity and the pain, and therefore the voice that was wrung from the mouth of Jesus, was certainly not born out of any anger or displeasure on the side of God. So what can we as a church offer baffled people today who come into the sanctuary face to face with a sense of abandonment by God? What can we offer those who face veils through which they cannot see and doors to which they can find no key? Well, we have this at least. We can offer a Christ who has walked that road before us and therefore is able to enter into full sympathy with us. We can be sure that our Christ is not angry because we question. After all, he himself cried out, "Why?" The articulation of the absence of God in Psalm 22 lasts for 21 verses. Who knows how long was that time? Maybe 21 years. Maybe 21 minutes. It can last a lifetime. But through all the perplexity and desolation of those 21 verses, notice this, God is still described as my God. Then at long last, in the middle of verse 21, comes the breakthrough from that desolate time. From the horns of the wild oxen, you have rescued me. I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. Do you notice that in the midst of all his perplexity and anger and frustration, all the time when this writer feels abandoned by God and is able only to articulate the absence of God, do you notice that he is still within the congregation? He's still there. He's still part of a worshiping community. So that when the breakthrough finally comes, the first thing he does is bear witness to it among those who stood by him, loved him, and supported him through the crisis. That's why it's important to be a part of the people of faith. Here's a promise. There will come a time when you will once again sing the Hallelujah chorus. But for some of you, the time is not now. At this moment, for some of you, all you can do is articulate the absence of God. But do I need to remind you that when Jesus remembered in his agony the first words of Psalm 22 and cried out in his native Aramaic, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, meaning, my God, why have you forsaken me? God was never closer to him than at that very moment. Maybe one reason you are here in worship this morning is to hear that assurance. God has not forsaken you. God is nearer to you now than you can imagine. It is only one small step between the articulation of my God, why have you forsaken me in Psalm 22? Just one small step to the articulation of the care of God in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.